Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris preparing for her first face-off with former President Trump.
Harris, to a lot of people in the public, that isn't that well-defined. A lot of people want to know more about her policy positions. Trump doesn't have the same issue. He might be too well-defined in some ways, and he may want to kind of soften the edges or change the perceptions a little bit when he gets on that stage. But it'll be up to the candidates to define what kind of debate they want to have.
ABC's Rick Klein. The Republican-led House has released its report on the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan, which could be fodder for the debate, blaming the Biden administration for the disastrous end to the war, downplaying the role of former President Trump, who signed the withdrawal deal with the Taliban. The White House calling the report one-sided and partisan. Tropical storm Francine gaining strength in the Gulf, winds up to 60 miles an hour. That storm expected to become a hurricane tomorrow as it takes aim at the Louisiana coast. And legendary stage and screen actor James Earl Jones died today. He was 93. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. Donald Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, but he embraced one of its key provisions at a Saturday rally in Mosinee.
We will ultimately eliminate the Federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the state.
Project 2025 is a sweeping action plan for the next Republican president to overhaul the government. Last week in Wisconsin, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona warned public schools are under attack. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Authorities in Manitowoc County are investigating the remains of a human skeleton. They are not confirming or denying that it could be Elijah Vu, the boy who's been missing since February, nor are they providing any specific details. The sheriff's office says a deer hunter found the remains. A large police presence was seen at Camp Manitow, a Girl Scout camp near Two Rivers over the weekend. Elijah was reported missing on February 20th by his caretaker and mother's boyfriend, Jesse Vang, who is being held in the Manitowoc County Jail on child neglect charges. No one has been charged with the boy's disappearance. Gas prices fell almost 10 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state today is $3.06 per gallon. Prices should continue to drop as we head into the fall. The average price in Green Bay is $3.07. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping two of three games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past seven games, manager Pat Murphy said that it was a tough homestand for his team.
You know, it was a tough homestand, and we've had games like this. If you looked at the St. Louis series, we had games just like this where once something didn't go our way, we didn't produce right. We didn't fight back right after that.
Milwaukee will set out on a six-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still nine games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny in mid 80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday. Upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Enjoy shows like The Daily, Up First, and Consider This, available ad-free on Amazon Music. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/ad-free. That's amazon.com/ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday. That means what's grinding our gears. We'll ask you what's worse and so much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
It is. I got no use for silver medalists or bronze. See ya later. Take a hike. I'm joking, of course. Please, people. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. This is fun. It's Monday. It's a new week. It's a chance to start fresh. We're certainly going to do that here in talking about show business and entertainment and music and comedy and all the things we like to talk about here on Nightlight on a nightly basis. Great to have you with me. Wherever you are joining us from, welcome, welcome. We are having problems, as I understand it, with our Facebook stream, but hopefully that will get ironed out. So if you're a usual Facebook viewer, hang tough. We are still on Twitter and YouTube. Right, Conrad?
Yes, we're under okay. Civic Media's YouTube and WGBW, and then on Civic Media on X.
Okay, so, perfect. So yep. There are other viewing options. Yep. Either way, great to have you with us on this Monday night. As we kick off the new week, what do you do? You had Friday off. What happened there? How'd it go?
Well, it turned out to be a bad day.
Cause you took Friday off to celebrate your beloved Packers who
yes.
were playing in Brazil.
Yep.
And, hey, you know, what's funny? Friday night, I did the show from home and I thought, you know what? I want another guest. So I added a third guest in John Mino, who's yeah. a phenomenal guest. Every time he's on the show, he's so much fun. And I booked him for like 7:05, and I was like, man, I wonder if John forgot the Packers were on Friday. But no, he didn't, and he was a lot of fun. And we had Dom. This is our first show where Dom Salvia, the Dom Salvia Show, is our lead-in. So yep, that's exciting, yep. too. And congrats to Dom. He was a lot of fun the other night. We had a great talk when he was a guest on the show. It was a Civic Media All-Star Show on Friday, and it was a lot of fun. So but you took the night off, so that's a bummer. I'm sorry about your Packers that had to,
yeah,
that had to suck. Cause they were, I mean, look, Philly's a good team.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, it sucks is that we could have won that game easily if, you know, we got two turnovers in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Back to back drives. And then we couldn't score. So that was a shame there.
Yeah. And Love, decent news though about Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to get injured in this game,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
I think Packer fans have had it really easy with Favre and Rodgers, who are pretty much Teflon durability, except for Rodgers early in his career. I know he broke his foot or something like that. But after that.
I mean, so he had a collarbone, I think that was, broke his collarbone. And then, but we had a really good backup then in Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn, that's right.
And,
oh, man, did he cash in. He had one great game and yeah. made like $25 million or something like that from it.
I wasn't worried when Matt Flynn was the backup, but now I'm like, oof, he's going to be a couple tough games.
Yeah, but, you know, you might sign someone. They're looking at Tannehill, as I understand it.
It would be hilarious if when he faced the Titans, we have Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis, who last year were their quarterbacks.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Malik Willis is not a rookie.
No, he's, I think he's in his third season now. Yeah, third season.
Okay.
But it'd be hilarious if we beat the Titans with their quarterback room.
Oh, for sure. But I think it's good luck for quarterbacks to wear the Packer uniform. You've always had good quarterback coaches, for one thing. And the second, and the durability thing, like, you know, Rodgers didn't have a serious injury until he left the Packers. And he was like 90 years old and he hurt his Achilles. But like, you know, this is, and this isn't that, but like if Love was out for the year, that argument, you could throw it out the window. But even when he supposedly popped his knee, I didn't see it.
Oh,
I saw the replay. Yeah. But did you see the pop?
Yes. Yeah. You really had to look at it. It's not as bad as, you know, you look at these Achilles tears and stuff like that when you really see the pop.
Yeah.
That one, you could kind of see it. And I was really praying for the best, which
you kind of got.
To 3 to 4 weeks tops, yeah. I believe. So
it was a good night off, but you watch it with a Philly fan. Yeah. That had to be, oh, they are the worst fans.
Well,
I'm not saying your buddy is, but like as a rule, Philly fans are terrible.
You know, he was like, I'm kind of sad. I didn't want to see Jordan Love get injured.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him go on that last drive, obviously. And
sure.
But yeah.
That was a tall order anyway, but.
And then we put a backup in there. I wasn't expecting anything.
Might as well have been me. I mean, but so anyway, we got a great show tonight. Greg Liena is here at 6:35. Greg is the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. He made an independent film, which they turned into, you know, the big studio trilogy. Or did they make four?
They made three.
I think three.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. So Greg will be here to talk about, he's releasing his version. And he's going to tell us where to see it, and I highly recommend it. I've written scripts with Greg. We've had some success in selling stuff, which has been fun. Great guy to write with. We always had a blast. And we're still trying to sell a couple things, but it's a little slow going. But Greg is a great guy and fun to talk to. And his version of Meet the Parents is much darker than the studio version. I highly recommend it. So Greg will tell us where we can see it. That's coming up at 6:35. And then author and casting director Rex Sykes will be here at 8:20 to talk about the casting process, which we haven't really delved into here at Nightlight. It's a fascinating process, though, and Rex will talk a little bit about his new book as well. So fun show, covering a couple different bases. Our question tonight, all right, so the movie Sully dropped today. It was released today in 2016. Do you know who the star of Sully was?
It was Tom Hanks.
Yes.
I only know that because I looked it up.
Well, I only know that because Tom Hanks is the star of every movie ever made. So it's a pretty safe guess either way. I have never seen Sully. And I think you and I have talked about this on this show. You've seen it and loved it, right?
That wasn't the movie I've seen, no.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen that, no.
Somebody was on this show and said, oh, you have to see Sully. I've never seen it. So our question tonight is, what's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? What's a movie you can't believe you've never seen? Because sometimes they come and go. And Mike Schmidt was on the show recently and said sometimes when there's big hype around a movie and he doesn't see it opening weekend, he just won't see it for a while. And then before you know it, you never see it. That's kind of what happens with me sometimes. So that's our question. What's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? One of mine would be Sully. And you can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or find us somehow. It's just nice to be found.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Other birthdays, your idol, Adam Sandler, turns 58 today.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you the story. I got to bring this DVD in. In the 90s. Sandler was already a pretty big star. I was a touring comedian. I was on TV quite a bit. And, you know, I had a nice little thing going with stand-up. I loved it. It was fun. And Comedy Central liked me. They played a lot of my clips. So on their promotional CD-ROM, the two faces on the box were me and Adam Sandler, which was fun at the time. I was like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. You know, and knew some people at Comedy Central. And you'd think that would be a good thing. But when you have kids and they see it and they go, man, Dad, what happened? I'm like, look, he was already a huge star. They just threw me a bone because they liked me. So it's a pretty cool thing. And Sandler has had an incredible career. Very nice guy. What is your favorite movie, Conrad, of Sandler?
Ooh.
Have you seen them all? Or is that one of your movies that got away?
Okay. I'll, I don't really have a favorite, but I will tell you my least favorite of his movies.
Okay.
And I rewatched it today because I was like, okay.
In honor of him?
I just rewatched it to see if I could actually like it.
Okay.
And the answer is still no. It's called Sandy Wexler. It's on Netflix.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah. And it's about...
I haven't seen that
either. Adam Sandler plays Sandy Wexler, who is manager in Hollywood in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. It was a remake of Broadway Danny Rose, I think, the Woody Allen film.
Okay.
I do remember this now, but I haven't seen it.
I just don't like it.
Oh, really?
I tried.
Well, if that is a remake, I don't know why you'd remake something like that. And he doesn't have to do remakes. The guy gets anything he wants made. Why would you do? And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was the film that was based on Broadway Danny Rose. But Eric Stone Street turns 53 today. Many of you might know him from Modern Family. He is, to me, he and Phil from Modern Family, two of the funniest sitcom characters ever. He played his favorite alter ego on the show is Fizbo the Clown. And we have a clip of that, which is funny. And he is a treasure. The guy is so funny. And we were having pizza once, right before I moved back to the Midwest. I was with my buddy Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show, and my other friend Pat Francis, who I've been trying to get on the show to talk about his really cool podcast. And Eric Stone Street comes over. And the show was new. I hadn't even seen it yet. And he recognized Jimmy, because Jimmy has a very popular podcast called Never Not Funny. And Stone Street was a huge fan of that. So when I got home and I fell in love with the show, I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't pay more attention to that guy. I didn't know who he was at the time, but he's so talented. If you haven't seen Modern Family, check it out. It's very funny. Sofia Vergara is hilarious. Phil Dunphy, Ty Burrell, played by Ty Burrell. Eric Stone Street is hilarious. The writing is phenomenal. And helmed by created by a UW Madison alum, whose name escapes me at the moment. It'll come to me. I can't think of it. I got to go to the Google. 2 minutes already? We just got here. What is going on? All right, so that's our question tonight. Let me know, what's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got a lot of fun on the show tonight. Those of you who are a little older, welcome back, Cotter. This is the anniversary of Welcome Back, Cotter. Conrad, you're much too young to remember this, but I will tell you, you missed out on a gem of a show where they used phrases like, up your nose with a rubber hose. I still don't understand that to this day, but it put John Travolta on the map. And it was like, I don't know if I could sit through an episode of that now, but in the 70s, I loved it. It was great. What else did I want to get to? Dom's show, movies you got away. Oh, Sputnik Fest. Okay, real quick. On Saturday, I judged a costume contest at Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc. So much fun. If you've never been to Sputnik Fest, you got to check it out. And there's no foul play here, but Amanda Nimmer's son took second place in the kids' costume department. I didn't even know it was her son. He takes second. I'm the one that has to give him his certificate of victory for coming in second. Cutest kid ever, except for my kids. It was really fun. And people might think that's suspicious, but I honestly had no idea. And Greg Vadney, it was fun at Sputnik Fest Saturday. Check it out if you haven't. Next year should be fun, too. Greg Liana coming up at 6:35. When we come back, we're going to talk about James Earl Jones and his legacy. He passed away today at 93. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's gone away. Just hold me close. Don't ever let me go.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. So we got some text here for our question of the night, which is, what is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? Sherry checks in from Horicon with her usual evening greeting. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Sherry. Great to have you with us. From the 216, Pulp Fiction. That's a good one. And it's a great movie. It's not for everyone. No, it's Tarantino. He's going to have his violence. He's going to have his, like, sexual perversions, like Conrad does.
Wait.
I was wondering if you were going to respond to that. Jeez. Pulp Fiction. Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Great movie. I loved it. It's probably my favorite one of Tarantino's. But no, I take that back. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood I like better. Although Pulp Fiction is more unique and crazy.
It's definitely crazy.
Yeah. I was watching Pulp Fiction. I think I've told this story too. I was with a comic named Mick Lazinski. We were working in Indianapolis. Mick was a Milwaukee comic. He was headlining. I was in the middle spot. So we go to see Pulp Fiction. I knew I was going to love it the second the music comes on. So there's a scene in the film where they flash back. Travolta gets blown away. They flash back and he's alive. And the guy in front of us, there's only like three other people in the theater. He starts going, "What? Wait a minute. What's going on here?" Like, dude, it's nonlinear storytelling. Relax. He thought they made a mistake and sent the wrong copy of the film or something, like a bad edit or something. Very funny. Chris Casper checking in from the 608. How about Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, Pete? How about that, Chris? You haven't seen either? Or is he challenging me, thinking I haven't seen those? I don't know. I need clarification, Chris. One of our crack engineers here at Civic Media. And from the 814, Jameson in Pennsylvania says, This is a bit embarrassing. I'm 44, born in 1980. I've never seen Jaws. It's not embarrassing. They just get away from us, right, Jameson? I mean, I haven't seen Sully. Sully isn't Jaws, but that was the inspiration of the question, and you have plenty of time, Jameson, to check out Jaws. And you'll ask yourself a lot of questions watching Jaws. Like, why? I know there's so many weird things about that movie. Remember we showed or we played Richard Jenny's bit?
Yeah.
That's a great bit. Jaws 3, the family moves to Florida to get away from the shark. The shark has beat the jet to Florida coming after the family. It's so great. Great answers. Keep them coming. Is our Facebook stream still down?
Yes.
Okay. So people can't see me. Is that correct?
We can go on YouTube or Twitter or X.
Oh, I'm asking because I have a spot on my shirt. I wore this shirt to the aforementioned Sputnik Fest. And I got a little Sputnik on my pocket.
Is that a little piece of the...
No, of the satellite? No. That is a fascinating thing. I mean, the fact that a Russian satellite loses a piece and it crashes in Manitowoc, Wisconsin in front of an art museum. Are you kidding me? It's nuts. So that was interesting. No, I've had a taste for like some type of Asian food, Thai, Chinese, whatever, for like a month. And I was so hungry after Sputnik Fest from all the judging. Judging takes it out of me. I always work up an appetite when I'm judging contests. It's happened 3 times.
Okay.
But anyway, so I went to Panda Express. I got like the 3-entree meal, which is about the best food you can get when you're hungry. But I dropped a piece of orange chicken on my shirt and a woman saw me and gave me the head shake. Like, really, lady? You've never spilled food? First of all, I was eating, like, I just got out of a POW camp. I was starving. And that was probably what she was shaking her head at. But yeah, she was judging me. We're both at Panda Express. We're both at the same point in life at this moment. Do you have to shake your head? But anyway, it's still there. And I forgot about it until after I put the shirt on. So, all right. So James Earl Jones passed away today. I don't know. Let's do Meet the Parents first. Let's do Greg's clip. Greg Liana is here at 6:35. His indie film, Meet the Parents, that was shot for $50,000. Brilliant movie. So funny. Greg will be here. He's trying to release his version, and it's going to have a screening soon just over the border. Not just over the border, but worth the drive over the border. And here is a clip. What is this the clip we played months ago, too?
Oh, a penny great, saved is a penny.
It's a great clip. Okay, so this is Greg meeting his fiance's in-laws, Meet the Parents.
You really have a beautiful home here.
Oh, thank you.
I've always prided myself in being able to provide my family with a very nice home to live in.
We're going to have a lovely home too, Daddy.
Having a family means being responsible with money. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I totally agree with that, sir. I've always believed a penny saved is a penny earned. Did I say something?
Daddy's mother's name was Penny, and he keeps her ashes in an urn.
You're kidding.
The guy just gets up and walks out of the room. It's so great because this family is like the folksiest family, Midwest family you'd ever see. And the guy who plays the dad, I think his name was Dick Galloway. I don't know how I remember that, but is hilarious. They're all great. But he just gets up and walks out of the room because he can't handle that. Jim from Appleton says, I've not seen Titanic yet, which is kind of amazing since that movie is everywhere. It is. Yeah, that's a good one, Jim. If you got 3 hours, or is it 3.5? I don't remember, but that's a great one to have not seen. I'm not saying don't see it, but do we have time for James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
We do. All right, James Earl Jones passed away. Was it today or yesterday? He's 93 years old.
It's today. It was today.
It was today. Okay, so he played Darth Vader. Here is James Earl Jones talking about the role of Darth Vader.
I looped it like an actor would voice, what do you call it, lip syncing. But there was no lip, so I was lucky. I just watched his body language. And the second one, Kirshner, because by now David Prowse knew his voice was not going to be used, so he just sort of threw the lines in. And Kirshner gave me a soundtrack with him doing the voice of Darth Vader. Kirshner's voice is like this, and you know, I'm imitating him badly. But it was scary as hell. Kirshner was scarier than I could ever be. I remember the second when George had a chance to counsel me. He said, we don't know what we did right, so let's just try what we did. Naturally, I wanted to make Darth Vader more interesting, more subtle, you know, more psychologically oriented, and you know. So he said, no. What we're finding out is you got to keep his voice on a very narrow band of inflection, because he ain't human, really. So that was the answer.
James Earl Jones, this is embarrassing. This just happened recently with someone who I thought had already passed away. I thought James Earl Jones might have passed away. I knew he was really old, like in his 90s. But great actor. We'll talk more. We'll talk about James Earl Jones with Greg Liana, who's coming up next at 6:35. After Civic Media's award-winning news teams keeps you informed. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Two Rivers are investigating the remains of a human skeleton. They're not confirming or denying it could be Elijah Vu. The 3-year-old boy has been missing since February. The sheriff's office says a deer hunter found the remains. The sheriff says he cannot provide specific information about details. A new study finds a split on how people in Wisconsin feel about drinking raw milk. Sean Patterson led the study for the University of Pennsylvania.
We did find that people living in rural areas thought that raw milk was safer overall than people living in the suburbs or in urban environments.
Untreated milk has been linked to illness outbreaks. Patterson says the risks don't outweigh any perceived benefits like better taste or nutrition. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. One of the hay barns at Fox Valley Alfalfa Mill in Hilbert caught fire early Monday morning. Calumet County officials confirmed that they were on the scene for several hours this morning. Calumet County officials confirmed more than 100 firefighters from 25 departments have been battling the blaze. Hilbert's fire chief said there were no injuries, and they may be fighting the fire into tomorrow morning. You might want to check the eggs in your fridge. A salmonella outbreak has gotten more than 60 people sick. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the eggs are from Milo's Poultry Farm in Bondwell in Shawano County. The cartons were sold in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan under the labels Milo's Poultry Farms or Tony's Fresh Market. The CDC staff says more people probably got salmonella from the eggs. They just never knew it and recovered on their own without treatment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Standing ovations are not uncommon at film festivals, but a 9-minute standing ovation is. That's how long the crowd at the Venice Film Festival clapped for Daniel Craig after his performance in a movie called Queer. The film is based on beat writer William Burroughs' novel from 1985. Craig plays an American expat living amongst a small group of Americans in Mexico who starts a relationship with Stark's character. The film is scheduled for release in the U.S. on October 6th. The new season of Dancing with the Stars is right around the corner. Some of the stars that will be dancing, as revealed on Good Morning America, include 90210's Tori Spelling, former NBA player Dwight Howard, kind of a reach, Pretty Little Liars' Chandler Kinney, Bachelorette star Jen Tran, model Brooks Nader, and actor Eric Roberts. Finally, a reason to watch Dancing with the Stars. Season 33 of the show premieres September 17th on ABC. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. More sun than clouds with a slight sprinkle or shower chance tomorrow. High low 80s. Mostly sunny in mid 80s on Wednesday. Humidity levels stay down, but it heats up again on Thursday. Upper 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, veteran artist Laura Meisenhelder-Taylor stops by to talk about her artwork.
Plus, Andrew Muzu is our NBC 26 Neighborhood Focus.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
But me, you can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave.
Welcome back. Before we bring Greg in, I would like to extend a shout out to my my son, who is an absolute treasure in my life, turns 24 today, Joseph. So happy birthday, Joe. You're a great kid, and I hope you're having a great day. He is a contributor to Nightlight behind the scenes at times, too. So I can do that. I can say that now. All right, so Rex Sykes is here at 8:20. We're going to talk about the casting process, and he's going to tell us about his new book. But right now, I am very excited to welcome back a Nightlight frequent flyer and a very good friend of mine and someone who I've written movies with, and we're lucky enough to have sold some, and he is the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise, and he joins us now on Nightlight, Greg Gliena. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Pete, I can't believe Joe is 24. I remember he was born.
How about that? Okay, so for those listening, Greg would come over to my apartment and we would write when we both lived in LA, and Joe was like 6 months, and my wife is a teacher.
John's so, cool.
Huh?
John's cool. John's cool.
So in order to be able to focus on what we were working on, I put on this thing. I think it was called like Baby Mozart or Baby Beethoven or something. And he would sit there and we would try to write. But we'd get distracted by all the shapes and images on the TV because the music was so great. John's cool. Wow. Greg, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in Park Ridge, Illinois at my sister's house.
That's so cool. I know you love Chicago, and you talked about moving back there for a year. You did a lot of complaining, Greg, when you lived in LA, and you said you always would go back to Chicago if you had the opportunity.
Well, I haven't moved permanently. This is kind of a let's spend some time here, place subletted. So, I'm going to experience fall Chicago.
Oh, so you're there for a while. You subletted your place. Yeah. Oh, very nice.
I figure I'm going to do a couple months and see how I like it.
Excellent. Well, the fall is the best season in Chicago or Wisconsin, if you ask me. I love it. So
good for you.
I want to ask you before we jump into Meet the Parents, what do you think about James Earl Jones? Do you have a favorite James Earl Jones role?
You know, he's one of those guys, a great actor, and just was in so many movies. He would just appear.
Yeah.
I was reading about him. I was surprised that he was in Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
He's just been in a million movies. He's one of those guys. He's just done a million movies. Great actor.
Right. Yeah. He's a lot of people don't know this. His brother was in The Sting. He played Luther. He was scamming people with Paul Newman and Robert Redford, and he ended up dying. And that's kind of what propelled the story or got Robert Redford to want to get revenge against Doyle Lonergan, played by Robert Shaw. Great movie. One of my all-time favorite movies. And his brother was a good actor, too. So, James Earl Jones. Yeah. Field of Dreams, The Lion King, all the Star Wars. The guy did okay.
All the Clear and Present Danger, Tom Clancy. Yeah.
Oh, he was great. All right. So, you have a big screening coming up. You created Meet the Parents. It all started with you. An indie film you shot for $50,000. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But tell us about this screening. The Pickwick is in Park Ridge, Illinois, probably about 45 minutes from the border. Well worth a drive to see this comedy gem on the big screen. Tell us about the screening, Greg.
Well, it's the 30th anniversary of signing a contract and burying this film. So I figured a nice screening would be good. And we played it at the Pickwick back in the day, you know, before we sold it.
Yeah.
So I just thought it'd be nice. I'm gonna attempt streaming after this, so we'll see what happens.
So when is the screening at the Pickwick, and how can people get tickets?
September 20th. It's there for the week of September 20th. You can reserve tickets on the Pickwick.com, whatever the website is.
Okay.
But yeah, you can order seats now, but it's playing for a week there.
That's fantastic. That's a great theater.
Was it so well that they hold us over for another week? That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Do you have a lot of listeners in the Chicago area?
We get texts from, just because of the places I've lived, we get texts from Chicago people sometimes, LA people sometimes, and absolutely. So it's well worth, and there's a lot of Chicago people in Wisconsin that live here. So, I think it's well worth mentioning. And
what was the drive? It was like 2 hours or Trying to remember from my stand-up comedy days.
The drive from like Milwaukee or here?
Chicago, from Chicago to Green, or where are you?
I'm in Green Bay. We typically broadcast every night from Green Bay. I would say it's a good 3 hours from here. No, it's 3.5 to 4 from where I live. I'm north of here. So this is probably 3 hours, but it's, I'm not saying plan the weekend around it, but it's definitely worth going down for one night and seeing it on the big screen. Like I've said before.
4 hours is nothing.
No, to see a good movie. What are you going to do? See, watch a Fall Guy again? I don't think so. But it's worth it. And it's so funny. I've said this, and I think certainly in the comedy community, it's funnier. And people outside the comedy community don't always believe me when I say, oh, you're just saying that because you know them, but it is funnier. It's darker. And
if I had, a dollar, everybody who's told me that over the years, I would, I'd be very wealthy that way.
I
have a quote. I have a quote on the poster from Louis C.K., but I didn't use the whole quote because he said it was one of the funniest things he ever saw on a podcast. And he says, for my money, it's way, way funnier than the remake, but I didn't want to put that on the poster and antagonize Universal, you know?
Oh, right. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Some people think and some people don't, you know, I mean, it's depends on your taste and how depraved it is.
I will say one of my favorite, this is like one of my favorite preposterous memories of living in LA is you and I, and I've told the story before on the show. This is when I met Chevy Chase in the elevator. You and I went to a meeting at the Zucker Brothers, who are Wisconsinites. And you said in the middle of the movie or in the middle of the meeting, you said they ruined my movie. Right there on the headline is Meet the Parents surpasses $100 million at the box office. They won't understand any of what you're saying. All they see there is dollar signs. I mean, it was so funny. All right. So the Pickwick Theater, September 20th, do you have any, are you doing any Q&As or do you have people coming in that were in the cast?
Friday the 20th, we're going to do a Q&A after the 7 o'clock show.
Okay. Who will be there for that?
My sister.
No, I mean, like, are you bringing
some of the cast members and Jim Vincent, who produced it, and Mary Ruth Clark, who co-wrote it with me and played the sister, will be there.
She's very funny.
The girl who wrote, there's a book coming out, The Meet the Parents Story, will be there. It's coming out in the December, I think they said, in Bear Manor Press.
Oh,
but
nice.
It's a story of how Meet the Parents went from this little, it started with a 5-minute short, actually.
Okay.
And ended up being a Hollywood blockbuster.
That's so great.
Depressing. I didn't write it. You know, when I read it, and I was just depressed. It was like, oh, my God.
Oh, really?
How horrible.
Well, we'll talk about the – I want to get to the book, too, because I want you to tell me more about that. But tell us how Meet the Parents started, because it's such a great story, and where you got the money. And you said it, I didn't even know it started from a 5-minute short. So tell us kind of –
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a great story, but I made I used to, I went to Columbia College and I kind of dropped out doing stand-up when I got involved in stand-up. And I used to make short films and I made a film called The Vase. And it was 5 minutes. It was black and white. And it was actually a movie. Put the title cards on, you know, present their vase. And I go in, I break the vase. And I had this idea for expanding it. I was inspired by the Peter Sellers movie, The Party.
Oh, yeah.
Because in that movie, the entire plot is he goes to a party. You know, he's an Indian extra or whatever, and he goes to a party, and that's the whole plot. He just ruins this Hollywood party. I thought, why couldn't I just do a guy going to meet his parents? And that's the whole movie. It's just this, you know, falling apart, meeting the parents. So I became friends with the comedian Emo Phillips on the stand-up comedy circuit, and we both have a love of silent comedy and Chaplin and Keith. I told him I had this idea for possibly expanding it into a feature, and he said, well, that could be really funny, and he goes, why don't you write it, and if I like it, I'll put some money in. So I went to my friend Mary Ruth because I know she had written some plays, and we wrote the script in like under a month. I think it was not a long time. And Emo funded it, and it got made, and the tragedy began. No.
Will you put a negative spin on something that's put money in your pockets for 30 years?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, National Lampoon, and they were going to put it on, ads in the magazines, or National Lampoon's Meet the Parents. I mean, that fell through. I've heard various reasons why, but that fell through. Then we ended up cutting a film print, and it played the Music Box in Chicago and did really, really well. And we just couldn't find distribution at the time. We did that, there wasn't all these film festivals and things outlets for it. The film scene hadn't really exploded, so we ended up Steven Soderbergh saw it, and he ended up taking it into Universal. He called me up and said, this should be a good movie, this is so relatable to so many people. And so that went to Universal, and 5 years went by, and then the movie came out, you know.
How about that? And I remember you telling me it sat on the shelves at Universal for 2 or 3 years until Jay Roach, the director, saw it, and he wanted to make it. Like, they don't even know when they have something good.
They didn't like it.
Wow, that's crazy.
They never – Jay Roach told me if Earl had passed, that movie never would have got made, because they just didn't believe in it. He tried to get it made. He was trying to convince them, and they just didn't see it. And then, of course, a year later – you know, we did Guy Thing. It's, can you make it more like Meet the Parents? Everyone's looking for Meet the Parents. But before Meet the Parents, nobody wanted Meet the Parents.
We had Tom Lennon was on the show about 3 weeks ago. We told some funny Guy Thing stories. But I told him the one when we were in the meeting, and one of the producers said, and I don't want to say his name, but he said, can they have a scene where you have to get the bad guy, the antagonist, can we have a scene where we have to get him to a, like, maybe he's on the Chicago Bears and we have to get him to a game? I'm like, what does that have to do with crazy?
I condensed that story to in the middle of a meeting. What if he's a football player? That's a story, because that's, it was like, okay, that's a different movie, but thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Give us some money, we'll go write that one.
You know, David Mamet said that nobody in Hollywood knows how to read a script. And when I first moved there, it was right before the movie had even come out.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get with an agent and some samples. So one of the samples was the version we shot of Meet the Parents. And they just ripped it up. The horrible coverage.
Oh my God. You're wrong.
Yeah. I've seen it with audiences. We've seen it with critics. You're wrong. You just don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so the independent film was successful. You saw it with an audience. It got good reviews even then. And then they made it into this huge studio blockbuster. So how are the people reading the scripts even employed? What they were wrong on, like, both levels?
Well, that was, you know, they're probably dead now. It was 25 years ago. You know, I don't know.
Oh, dear. Well,
yeah, that's crazy. You know, it's not the first script that has been unrecognized.
Right. So it was Ben Stiller getting interested that really got traction, right? And all of a sudden they're like, well, we got to make this.
Well, I heard it was, Jay Roach told me it was Robert De Niro. That's who the studio. Yeah. Once they got him, they saw the movie, you know?
And now I'm going to sound crazy for saying this. De Niro's great. He's De Niro. He's phenomenal. And he's good in Meet the Parents. He's really good. But the role was just over the top. Oh, he's teaching his cat how to go to the bathroom on the toilet. And he worked for the CIA and all that stuff. Your guy, Dick Galloway, just looked like that disapproved. There's a great scene toward the end of your movie. You've made this family, your character has made this family's life hell.
Inadvertently,
yeah. Right. No, right. You're not a bad guy. And then you break his Victrola and you just toss it under the couch because it's like, oh my God, not this. And then the two of you are just sitting fishing and there's just nothing but silence. And he just looks at you because he knows and he goes, you break my Victrola? You said, yeah, I threw it under the couch. All right, Greg Lien is here. He is the founder or the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise and my sometime writing partner and an all-around good guy. He's spending time with us here on Nightlight. We'll have more with Greg after a very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And mine, two sips of wine, memories are made of this. Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Two, three, four!
All right, we're back. Our question tonight, what's a film you can't believe you haven't seen yet? You can let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? I thought of this because I hadn't seen Sully in a drop today in 2016. Greg, do you have a movie you can't believe?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I know there are. Oh, my God.
I always mean to write them down because I hear it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to watch that. And then I just forget about it, you know?
I've seen most of the big movies, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll circle back. Greg Lana is here. He's the creator. What is it?
Huh? I saw Sully.
Oh, you did see Sully. How is Sully? Someone just recently told me it was great. Yeah.
That's good.
Now, Tom Hanks. Cool. He's really coming into his own. What's that?
That was Clint Eastwood, right? Directed it?
I don't know. I know it's Tom Hanks is in the acting. I didn't know that. Conrad, should we go to the Google? Let's find out the director.
Already on it. It is Clint Eastwood.
It is Clint Eastwood. Okay. Good poll. All right. So, Greg, before we get to the book, I have to ask you, because listening to you complain about Meet the Parents, even though it is a good thing, and I know you acknowledge it's a good thing, has always cracked me up. It's like you're like this lovable curmudgeon about this great film, and you got screwed over. So I think that's part of the reason that you're upset about that. There's no question you got screwed over. But before we talk about
haven't you, even with your experience, remember Guy that kind of ruined that movie?
They ruined a guy. Am I wrong about
that? That was a great script. It's like,
right.
It's not unusual, but I think they.
No, you're no question. And Greg and I have sold a few scripts together, only one of which got made, a guy thing. It has funny moments, but you're right. There were too many cooks in the kitchen. Everybody wanted to make a great film, but they all had different views of comedy or what should stay and what should go. And that's how, in my opinion, and I have gotten there probably from our years of just talking about comedy while we were writing, it has to be kind of either a writer-director, one vision, or a director who really gets the writer. Those are the most successful comedies. The Farrelly Brothers, Harold Ramis, Woody Allen, Albert Brooks.
One who's upset, you know, Emo had a famous joke. Emo Phillips, who put the money up for it, he said, "Yeah, I know how the Indians felt who sold Manhattan for beads."
Yeah, right. I remember that.
But I'm positive next to him, you know, because he was like complaining. And I said, "Emo, if you knew when I went to you and I said we need $30,000 to make this movie, you'll get all your money back, plus you'll make another, you know, $150,000 or something," he would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
It's only when you know that the movie made $500 million that, wait a minute, we could have got more.
So, okay, so let's talk about that process, Greg, that whole process from when the director, Steven Soderbergh, saw it, took it to Universal, it got made, Jay Roach saw it, you got Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro. What would you do differently? I mean, it was all out of your control once you sold it. What would you have happened differently?
What would I have done differently? Well, I would have, got the rights to release mine. I didn't have to wait 30 years to, you know, release my version.
Wow.
And there was an arbitration at the Writers Guild. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that's in this book, I didn't even know. Or I blocked down. This writer, who I won't mention his name, is going to be very unhappy with this book.
Right.
But, you know, they, the thing is, when we, Steven Soderbergh, they flew us, Mary Ruth and I, to New York, and we developed it with him. And we did two drafts, and they kind of, the Writers Guild ignored those two drafts. Like, right, they didn't happen. And they just, the guy who did the rewrite, the first rights, they consider his draft to be the first draft. And I don't know how they can do that. You know, we did two drafts that were different than my movie. I mean, there's a lot that in right. my movie, but there's a lot that, you know, we were the gas station guy, and we had the Mr. Boyfriend was Mr. Wonderful, and we had a happy ending. So we really kind of got screwed by the Writers Guild, I think.
Well, I remember the story too, that that other writer who will be talked about in the book took your name off the script and just handed it in with only his name on it. And that's against Writers Guild regulation or rules. No.
He didn't care.
No.
But he actually, I found out in this book, went to the arbitration and tried to say all these drafts they did were just to the movie. They're not.
They were just what?
Transcripts. That there was nothing different. We just rewrote our movie. Gosh. And that was just factually wrong.
It's weird, too, because we have a mutual friend who's kind of friends with that guy. And he knows the whole story and he doesn't approve of it. And they're not tight, but he goes to stuff and he's there and he's like always in the back of my mind. I'm like, this is the guy that did that. You know, like,
Laura, who wrote the book, Laura Enright, interviewed him and actually called him out on some of this stuff. So
what is the name of the book, Greg? And when does it hit the shelves, so to speak?
The Meet the Parents story, the true and terrible story of how an independent film spawned a $1 billion franchise.
Jeez. Okay. Laura Enright.
A cautionary tale for writers.
Yeah. So it's Laura Enright. What, and when does it hit December, you said?
She told me December, yeah.
Okay. Meet the Parents.
Bear Manor Press, I think, is the company.
Okay.
That will be releasing.
I always love when they put the company on there. It's like, nobody's ever bought a book because it was published by Harper's. You know, it's like from the studio that brought you Bad Girl. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the studio that made the film.
Yeah, you're right. I should mention.
Let me ask you this. What do you like about the studio version of your film? You got to find something that you really liked.
You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it. It's just that, like, why do you keep the urn but drop the penny save penny earn joke? You know, or why... stuff kind of baffled me that why would you take this out, you know, and it was funny. There's a funny situation to begin with, and Ben Stiller was great and De Niro was great, but
Ben Stiller was not as good as you. Is that what I'm hearing?
I didn't say that.
All right, so September 20th, for the whole week, it's going to be at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Illinois. Listen, if you live in Southeast Wisconsin or somewhere where it's a day trip, it's definitely worth a drive. You can watch it other places, but I won't even say them because I want people to go see it on a big screen. That is the place to see any movie.
We are going to attempt to get, streaming. We'll see.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll talk about that too. Can you stick around for a few more minutes, Greg?
Yes.
Greg, okay, perfect. So Greg Liana is here. He is the writer, a creator of the Meet the Parents franchise and my sometime writing partner. And he is here spending time with us on Nightlight. We'll have more with Greg after your award-winning news. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Mino and the Mayor.
I'm on my way to a Little League game, and there is a bat on the sidewalk.
and it looked like it was dead, so I kicked it a little bit, and it turned and went just like that. And it's like, I almost peed myself. I'm not even kidding. He had these sharp little teeth and these evil eyes.
Yeah.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.